smithereens. Silence.
Words like violence break the silence, come crashing into my little world. Painful to me, pierce right through me. Can't you understand, oh my little boy? Spoken to be broken, feelings are intense, words are trivial, pleasures remain, so does the pain. Words are meaningless and forgettable.
Whatever you say, say nothing. I'm writing just after an encounter with an English journalist in search of views on the Irish thing. I'm back in winter quarters where bad news is no longer news, where media men and stringers sniff and point, where zoom lenses, recorders and coil leads litter the hotels. The times are out of joint, but I incline as much to rosary beads as to the jottings and analyses of politicians and newspaper men who scribble down the long campaign from gas and protest to gelignite and Sten, who proved upon their pulses escalate, backlash and crackdown, the provisional wing, polarisation and long-standing hate. Yet I live here. I live here too, I sing, expertly civil-tongued with civil neighbours, on the high wires of first wireless reports, sucking the fake taste, the stony flavours of those sanctioned, old, elaborate retorts. Oh, it's disgraceful, surely. I agree. Where's it going to end? It's getting worse. They're murderers. Internment, understandably. The voice of sanity is getting hoarse. Men die at hand. In blasted street and home, the gelignite's a common sound effect. As the man said when Celtic won, the Pope of Rome's a happy man this night. His flock suspect in their deepest heart of hearts the heretic has come at last to heel and to the stake. We tremble near the flames, but want no truck with the actual firing. We are on the make as ever. Long sucking the hind tit, cold as a witch's and as hard to swallow, still leaves us fork-tongued on the border bit. The liberal papist note sounds hollow when amplified and mixed in with the bangs that shake all hearts and windows day and night. It's tempting here to rhyme on labour pangs and diagnose a rebirth in our plight, but that would be to ignore other symptoms. Last night you didn't need a stethoscope to hear the eructation of orange drums allergic equally to Pierce and Pope. On all sides, little platoons are mustering. The phrase is Cruise O'Brien's via that great backlash, Burke. While I sit here with a pestering growth for words, at once both gaff and bait, to lure the tribal shoals to epigram and order, I believe any of us could draw the line through bigotry and sham, given the right line, Aeri Perennius. Religion's never mentioned here. Of course. You know them by their eyes and hold your tongue. One side's as bad as the other, never worse. Christ, it's near time that some small leak was sprung in the great dikes the Dutchman made to dam the dangerous tide that followed Seamus. Yet for all this art and sedentary trade, I am incapable. The famous northern reticence, the tight gag of place and times, yes, yes. Of the wee six I sing. Where to be saved, you only must save face. And whatever you say nothing. Smoke signals are loudmouth compared with us. Manoeuvrings to find out name in school. Subtle discrimination by addresses. With hardly an exception to the rule that Norman, Ken and Sidney signalled prod. And Seamus, call me Sean, was surefire pape. O land of password, hand grip, wink and nod, of open minds as open as a trap, where tongues lie coiled as under flames lie wicks, where half of us, as in a wooden horse, were cabined and confined like wily Greeks, besieged within the siege, whispering Morse. This morning from a dewy motorway, I saw the new camp for the internees. A bomb had left a crater of fresh clay in the roadside, and over in the trees, machine gun posts defined a rail stockade. There was that white mist you get on a low ground, and it was déjà vu, some film made of Stalag 17, a bad dream with no sound. Is there a life before death? That's chalked up in Ballymurphy. Competence with pain, coherent miseries, a bite and sup. We hug our little destiny again.
faced now with the failure of their discredited cause. The men of violence have chosen in recent months to play what may well be their last card. They've turned their violence against themselves through the prison hunger strike to death. They seek to work on the most basic of human emotions, pity, as a means of creating tension and stoking the fires of bitterness and hatred.
Silencio. No hay banda. No hay banda. No hay orquesta. Silencio. 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 Banda.
Rita. Rita, wake up.
No.
No.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, it's not okay.
What's wrong?
Go with me somewhere.
It's 2 o'clock.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Go with me somewhere.
Sure. Now. Right now. conversation begins with a lie, and each speaker of the so-called common language feels the ice flow split, the drift apart, as if powerless, as if up against a force of nature. A poem can begin with a lie and be torn up. A conversation has other laws, recharges itself with its own false energy, cannot be torn up, infiltrates our blood, repeats itself, inscribes with its unreturning stylus the isolation it denies. The classical music station playing hour upon hour in the apartment, the picking up and picking up and again picking up the telephone, the syllables uttering the old script over and over, the loneliness of the liar, living in the formal network of the lie, twisting the dials to drown the terror beneath the unsaid word. The technology of silence, the rituals, etiquette, the blurring of terms, silence, not absence, of words or music or even raw sounds. Silence can be a plan rigorously executed, the blueprint to a life. It is a presence, it has a history, a form. Do not confuse it with any kind of absence. How calm, how inoffensive these words begin to seem to me. Though begun in grief and anger, can I break through this film of the abstract without wounding myself or you? There is enough pain here. This is why the classical or the jazz music station plays, to give a ground of meaning to our pain. The silence that strips bare in Dreyer's Passion of Joan, Falconetti's face, hair shorn, a great geography mutely surveyed by the camera. If there were a poetry where this could happen, not as blank spaces or as words, stretched like a skin over meanings, but a silence falls at the end of a night through which two people have talked till dawn. The scream of an illegitimate voice. It has ceased to hear itself, therefore it asks itself, how do I exist? This was the silence I wanted to break in you. I had questions, but you would not answer. I had answers, but you would not use them. This is useless to you, and perhaps to others. It was an old theme, even for me. Language cannot do everything. Chalk it on the walls, where the dead poets lie in their mausoleums. If at the will of the poet the poem could turn into a thing, a granite flank laid bare, a lifted head alight with dew, if it could simply look you in the face with naked eyeballs, not letting you turn till you, and I who longed to make this thing, were finally clarified together in its stare. No, let me have this dust, these pale clouds dourly lingering, these words moving with ferocious accuracy like the blind child's fingers, or the newborn infant's mouth violent with hunger. No one can give me, I've long ago taken this method, whether of bran pouring from the loose woven sack, or of the Bunsen flame turned low and blue, if from time to time I envy the pure enunciations to the eye, the visio beatifica, if from time to time I long to turn, like the Lusinian hierophant, holding up a simple ear of grain for return to the concrete and everlasting world, what in fact I keep choosing are these words, these whispers, conversations, from which time after time the truth breaks moist and green.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Windy day.
Yes.
I'm not disturbing, you know.
No, not really. I'm heading anyway. I'm finished.
Well, you're not fishing. Are you making radio or...?
I'm just doing a bit of recording, yeah. It's a mic. I've set up the
television.
No, it's... I'm recording areas that are away from man-made sound.
So you're here?
I'm here, yeah, but I'm keeping quiet.
What's the Irish for silence?
What's cuinus? Cuinus, suinus?
Cuinus or suinus? Be the host.
Host, aye.
Yeah, Kaddish in Amerla, host.
Host in Amerla, that's a good one. Host is kind of like, it's like the gap between noise, isn't it?
Is it?
You have to have noise to get to a thost.
Two noises and the silence is in the emptiness.
A thost is thost. In between, yeah.
Be the host. That's good.
That's a silence, isn't it?
It's a long time out of Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being nosy now.
It's a while.
Speak for us. Before I begin this poem, I'd like to ask you to join me in a moment of silence in honor of those who died in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001. I would also like to ask you to offer up a moment of silence for all those who have been harassed, imprisoned, disappeared, tortured, raped, and/or killed in retaliation for those strikes, for the victims in Afghanistan, Iraq, the United States, and throughout the world. And if I could add just one more thing, a full day of silence for the tens of thousands of Palestinians who have died at the hands of U.S.-backed Israeli forces over decades of occupation. 6 months of silence for the 1.5 million Iraqi people, mostly children, who have died of malnourishment or starvation as a result of a 12-year U.S. embargo against the country. And now, the drums of war beat again. Before I begin this poem, 2 months of silence for the blacks under apartheid in South Africa, where homeland security made them aliens in their own country. 9 months of silence for the dead in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where death rained down and peeled back every layer of concrete, steel, earth, and skin, and the survivors went on as if alive. 1 year of silence for the millions of dead in Vietnam, a people, not a war. For those who know a thing or two about the scent of burning fuel, their relatives' bones buried in it, their babies born of it. 2 months of silence for the decades of dead in Colombia, whose names, like the corpses they once represented, have piled up and slipped off our tongues. Before I begin this poem, 7 days of silence for El Salvador, 1 day of silence for Nicaragua, 5 days of silence for the Guatemaltecos, none of whom ever knew a moment of peace in their living years. 45 seconds of silence for the 45 dead at Acteal, Chiapas. 1,933 miles of silence for every desperate body that burns in the desert sun, drowns in swollen rivers at the pearly gates to the empire's underbelly, a gaping wound sutured shut by razor wire and corrugated steel. 25 years of silence for the millions of Africans who found their graves far deeper in the ocean than any building could poke into the sky, for those who were strung and swung from the heights of sycamore trees in the south, the north, the east, and the west. There will be no DNA testing or dental records to identify their remains. 100 years of silence for the hundreds of millions of indigenous people from this half of right here whose land and lives were stolen in postcard-perfect plots like Pine Ridge, Wounded Knee, Sand Creek, Fallen Timbers, or the Trail of Tears, names now reduced to innocuous magnetic poetry on the refrigerator of our consciousness. From somewhere within the pillars of power, you open your mouth to invoke a moment of our silence, and we are all left speechless. Our tongues snatched from our mouths, our eyes stapled shut. A moment of silence and the poets are laid to rest. The drums disintegrate into dust. Before I begin this poem, you want a moment of silence. You mourn now as if the world will never be the same, and the rest of us hope to hell it won't be, not like it has always been. Because this is not a 9/11 poem. This is a 9/10 poem. It is a 9/9 poem, a 9/8 poem, a 9/7 poem. This is a 1492 poem. This is a poem about what causes poems like this to be written. And if this is a 9/11 poem, then this is a September 11th, 1973 poem for Chile. This is a September 12th, 1977 poem for Stephen Biko in South Africa. This is a September 13th, 1971 poem for the brothers at Attica Prison, New York. This is a September 14th, 1992 poem for the people of Somalia. This is a poem for every date that falls to the ground amidst the ashes of amnesia. This is a poem for the 110 stories that were never told, the 110 stories that history uprooted from its textbooks, the 110 stories that CNN, BBC, The New York Times, and Newsweek ignored. This is a poem for interrupting this program. This is not a peace poem, not a poem for forgiveness. This is a justice poem, a poem for never forgetting. This is a poem to remind us that all that glitters might just be broken glass. And still you want a moment of silence for the dead. We could give you lifetimes of empty, the unmarked graves, the lost languages, the uprooted trees and histories, the dead stares on the faces of nameless children. Before I start this poem, we could be silent forever, or just long enough to hunger for the dust to bury us, and you would still ask us for more of our silence. So if you want a moment of silence, then stop the oil pumps. Turn off the engines, the televisions, sink the cruise ships, crash the stock markets, unplug the marquee lights, delete the emails, the instant messages, derail the trains and ground the planes. You want a moment of silence? Then put a brick through the window of Taco Bell and pay the workers for the wages lost. Tear down the liquor stores, the townhouses, the White Houses, the jailhouses, the penthouses, and the Playboys. You want a moment of silence? Then take it. On Super Bowl Sunday, the 4th of July, during Dayton's 13-hour sale, or the next time your white guilt fills the room where my beautiful brown people have gathered. You want a moment of silence? Then take it now, before this poem begins. Here, in the echo of my voice, in the pause between goose steps of the second hand, in the space between bodies and embrace, here is your silence. Take it. Take it all, but don't cut in line. Let your silence begin at the beginning of crime. And we, tonight, we will keep right on singing for our dead.
When I go down, And so we come to the final work in tonight's concert, and it's by far the most talked about. 4 minutes, 33 seconds. John Cage's notorious piece, conceived in 1952. Cage was fascinated by the natural sounds that surround us every day and the fact that there is no such thing as absolute silence. The idea of interpreting that as music was, in 1952, pretty radical. Still is. Cage wrote 4 minutes 33 as a piece in three movements where the performer does absolutely nothing, allowing the audience to absorb the sounds around them. Everyone experiencing the piece in a different way, therefore, because we all hear things in a different way. Tonight, the piece is being presented in a full orchestral version conducted by Lawrence Foster. He's going to give a downbeat to each of the three movements. He'll turn pages when he needs to, and of course, the orchestra will remain silent, we hope, throughout the piece. I reckon Cage would have been pretty pleased that this piece is being televised, because, of course, you at home are going to experience this piece in a very different way to those of us here in the hall. Well, I promise you, this is the piece everyone here tonight has come to experience. There really is nothing like John Cage's 4 minutes, 33 seconds.
That's one of the most extraordinary performances I've ever experienced here in the Barbican Hall. 4 minutes and 33 seconds by John Cage.
Silencio.